Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we explore the cutting edge of science, science that affects our life, science that changes our view of the entire universe. And with us today, once again, is Professor Paul Halpern, Professor of Physics at the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia. And he's the author of an exciting new book called Flashes of Creation, George Gamow, Fred Hoyle, and the Great Big Bang Debate. Yes, we're going to be talking about the creation of the universe in today's program. But first, let me make a few announcements about Science Fantastic. If you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or go to my Facebook site. We have 4.5 million fans on Facebook. And my latest book is a New York Times bestseller, The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. You know, Nobel Prize winners have split on the question of whether or not there is this fabled theory, the unified field theory, an equation perhaps no more than 1 inch long that would allow us, quote, to read the mind of God, unquote. These are the words of Albert Einstein, who embarked upon the quest to find the God equation, an equation perhaps no more than 1 inch long that would summarize all the laws of physics. Well, we have a candidate for it, string theory. In fact, I'm one of the co-founders of string field theory, which allows you to summarize all of string theory into an equation 1 inch long. But, as I mentioned, Nobel Prize winners have split on the question of, is this really the theory of everything? Well, find out. Get a copy of my latest book, The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything, which is my fifth New York Times bestseller. Well, once again, with us today is Professor Paul Halpern, Professor of Physics at the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia, author of a new book, Flashes of Creation, George Gamow, Fred Hoyle, and the Great Big Bang Debate. You know, every society has a mythology about the creation of the universe. The ancient Egyptians, for example, entertained the idea that there was an egg which floated in the Nile River, which hatched and gave birth to the universe. Well, some Polynesians believed that there was a coconut that sailed in the Pacific. It broke open and became the universe. But if you are a Buddhist, you have an entirely different picture. In Buddhism, there is nirvana, timelessness, no beginning, no end. The universe just is a timeless universe floating in nirvana. Well, let's talk about science. Science is dealt with things that are testable, things that are reproducible, things that are falsifiable. Now, unfortunately, the creation of the universe is not reproducible. No one's going to become God and simply create a universe in a jar. No, you can't do that. But you can test the remnants of whatever it is that set the universe into motion. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the struggle between the Big Bang Theory and the steady state theory to give us an understanding of the universe itself. Well, Paul, let me ask you a question. When you were a kid now, what steered you in the direction of physics and eventually things like cosmology and the quantum theory?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you for having me back on Science Fantastic. It's really a pleasure to be back. When I was a little kid, I read a book called 1-2-3 Infinity by George Gamow, and I was amazed by the illustrations showing things like the difference between left-handed and right-handed reality and the idea of parity and parity non-conservation. And Gamov was amazing at conveying scientific ideas to the general public. Now, unfortunately, he passed away in 1968, so I never got to meet him or see him talk, but he was a great influence on me, especially through the book 1-2-3 Infinity.
And when I was a kid, I also read that book, and you're absolutely right. A young kid opening up that book will have their mind blown away. So what was it then that steered you in the direction of cosmology and the quantum theory?
Well, as I grew up, I realized that I was pretty good at mathematics, and I had an interest in nature, so that led me towards physics. And then when I was a graduate student at Stony Brook University, I was trying to come up with ideas for things to do, and one idea I thought about was chaos theory, which was popular at the time. This was the late 80s. And the other idea that I was interested in was cosmology, because I had read a lot about the universe. And I went to the person who became my advisor, Max Dresden, and I said, well, I'm interested in chaos. I'm interested in cosmology. And he pulled out a paper, which was a review paper by John Barrow, and said, I have the perfect review paper for you. It's called Chaos in the Universe, Chaos in Cosmology. And that led to my PhD work at Stony Brook. So that became my interest for a while.
Okay, well, let's talk about two physicists, giants of physics, 20th century, for understanding the creation of the universe. Gamov, this immigrant from the former Soviet Union, and Fred Hoyle from England. So tell us a little bit about George Gamov, who was not a conventional physicist at all.
George Gamov, he was born in Odessa and always had this kind of unusual sense of humor. He was really into puns and pranks. And even his main paper on Big Bang nucleosynthesis had an amazing pun in the author list. He knew that his associate was named Ralph Alpher, and Alpher sounded like the Greek letter alpha, and his name sounds like gamma, the third Greek letter. And he happened to know somebody named Hans Bethe, a famous physicist, and without getting Beta's permission at the beginning, he added his name to the list of authors, even though Hans Bethe didn't even make a contribution to the paper, so it would be alpha, beta, gamma. And the paper was published on April Fool's Day, so it was a bit of a joke, but it was a very serious paper. And Alpher was kind of upset because that was his PhD thesis, and he didn't want to share credit with two other people, especially somebody who didn't contribute to the work. But Gamov kept up his pranks. He would often take one of his books, and if it was published in a foreign language, he would try to trick people into opening it on the wrong side of the book and then write a note, "Ha ha, I fooled you." And things like that, he would try to make people laugh. And some people say maybe he would have been taken more seriously as a physicist if he wasn't always making puns and pranks.
And he was also a cartoonist, wasn't he? Because I read his books when I was a kid, and I was shocked to find out that the illustrations were done by him. So he was an amateur cartoonist too, right?
Yes, he learned that when he was in St. Petersburg. He had a friend who drew sketches. And when he went to the Niels Bohr Institute in Copenhagen, he had a bit of trouble with the languages. He was starting to learn Danish. He was starting to learn English. He was starting to learn German. Sometimes he'd get those languages confused. So as a way to connect with people and to make them laugh, he became the resident cartoonist. So he started out by drawing pictures, which you could find online, of Niels Bohr.
Okay, Paul, we have to take another short commercial break, but afterwards we're going to continue a discussion of your book, Flashes of Creation. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station or the website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Fantastic. So stay tuned as we continue to talk about the creation of the universe.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're going to talk about the creation of the universe. With us today is physics professor Paul Halpern, a professor of physics at the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia. We're talking about his latest book, Flashes of Creation, George Gamow, Fred Hoyle, and the Great Big Bang Debate. So on one side, we had physicists like George Gamow pushing the Big Bang Theory. But on the other side, we have physicists led by Fred Hoyle pushing a different theory called the steady state. And it was a battle of the scientific titans. Which theory would survive all the tests that we could hurl at these theories? So with us today, once again, is Professor Paul Halpern. The book is called Flashes of Creation. Well, we talked about George Gamow, this prankster who actually came up with one of the early versions of the Big Bang Theory. But let's say a few things about Fred Hoyle. He was had a much different personality, right? He wasn't the clown. He was deadly serious. But tell us a little bit about Fred Hoyle.
Well, Fred Hoyle was born in Northern England, and it was a little bit unusual for somebody from a small town in Northern England to make it to Cambridge. So he was very proud of his achievements and very stubborn. So one of his main characteristics is that he would stick steadfast to his views. So once he adopted the idea of the steady state universe and there was evidence for the Big Bang, he briefly only considered the possibility that the Big Bang might be right before developing a new theory called the quasi-steady state. And he felt that it was better to be a renegade or a rebel than to fit into the mainstream. So that was a bit about his personality.
Okay, well, most people have a vague idea what the Big Bang theory is all about. There was an explosion that was super hot that set into motion the galaxies, the expanding universe of today. But what is the steady state theory, the opposite theory, the rival theory to the Big Bang?
The steady state theory was proposed in 1948, and it was the result of Hoyle and two other astronomers, Thomas Gold and Herman Bondi, going to see a movie that was a horror movie in a cinema in Cambridge. And the strange thing about the movie is that the beginning of the movie was the same as the end, so it kept repeating itself. The movie was kind of about a nightmare that would repeat itself again and again. And once they left the movie and they went back to Bondi's apartment and, you know, had a few drinks, Gold asked the question, well, what if the universe is like that? What if it exists forever and there's no beginning and no end? Now, they knew and believed, because of Hubble's results, that the universe expands. So they couldn't exactly say, well, the universe is not expanding. But what they proposed is that new matter slowly fills in the gaps. So let's say two galaxies move away from each other. Eventually, new particles start to emerge from the vacuum, and those particles start to cluster together, and over time, they produce clumps of matter that eventually ignite and produce stars and eventually produce new galaxies. And this happens over billions of years, but pretty much leaves the universe looking fairly the same over time and thus staying the same forever.
Okay, so let's now break down these theories. You mentioned the fact that the universe is expanding, which is a feature both in the Big Bang theory and the steady state theory. But here's an elementary question. How do we know? No one's been there. We don't have rocket ships that can measure this. How do we know that the universe is expanding rather than contracting, let's say?
Well, astronomers, including people like Hubble and before him somebody named Vesto Slipher, can measure two aspects of what are now known as the galaxies in the universe. And back then, they weren't even sure they were galaxies. They thought they could be nebula or clumps of gas within our own galaxy. But anyway, there are two measurements you can take that shows conclusively that the universe is expanding. One measurement uses a type of star called Cepheid variable stars that blink in a way that's characteristic of how much power they put out. And by looking at that, it's like looking at a candle in a dark room, and that tells you pretty much how far away it is. So the brighter it is, if you know exactly how much power a candle's putting out, if it looks super bright, then you know it's very close. If it looks super dim, you know it's far away. And they could tell how much power a Cepheid variable star is putting out because of its periodicity, how fast it is blinking. And then the other thing they pinned down was the speed of the galaxies. And that uses something called the Doppler shift, which means that if the galaxies are moving away, the light shifts towards the red end of the spectrum. If they're moving toward us, it moves shifts toward the blue end of the spectrum. And what Hubble found and others found is that if you look at most galaxies in space, the light is shifting toward the red end of the spectrum, meaning they're all moving away from us. So unless our galaxy is some kind of pariah that all the other galaxies don't like, there's no other reason to explain why all the galaxies are moving away from each other, except by saying that the universe is expanding. There was another hypothesis called the tired light hypothesis, but very few people believe that, the idea that light loses energy when it travels a long distance, and that's been disproven. So the only way to explain the Doppler shift is that the universe is expanding.
And isn't the Doppler shift also the reason why you get a speeding ticket? If your car is speeding and breaking the speed limit, a police car using a laser beam can bounce laser beams off your car and detect the fact that the light is shifted in color, therefore indicating that there is a speed to the car that you're moving away. And the military, of course, uses this with radar to detect the characteristics of, let's say, enemy jet aircraft. So this Doppler effect is pretty common, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And it also applies to sound as well as light. And that's why if you hear a fire engine, if it is moving away from you, you suddenly hear its sound get lower and lower. If it's moving toward you, you hear its pitch, I should say, getting higher and higher. So you can kind of tell if you're in a neighborhood whether or not a fire engine is coming toward you, which would be higher pitched, or if it's moving away from you, which would be lower pitched.
Now, some people don't like the name Big Bang Theory because, first of all, it wasn't big. The universe was smaller than a peanut. It was microscopic in size. It wasn't big, and there was no bang because, of course, there was no air back then to create sound. And so where did the name Big Bang come from? Who coined it?
Well, it's funny because Gamow, who was the big advocate, actually detested the name and never used it for the reasons you just described. But Hoyle, on a radio show in 1949, a BBC radio show, came up with the term as a disparaging term. He was trying to put down the idea that everything was created in a blast in the past. So he thought it was kind of a silly term for a silly theory because of the idea that everything was created billions of years ago. How do we know that? He said, wouldn't it be better to measure something that's more recent than billions of years ago? And as you mentioned earlier, we can't really visit the creation of the universe, so it's something that's untestable fundamentally from the perspective of going back in time to something we can't really do. So the only evidence is relic evidence that's left over, and Hoyle felt like it was better to kind of come up with theories based on the way the universe is now about how matter and energy is created.
Now, doesn't this debate between the Big Bang Theory and the steady-state theory have religious and philosophical implications? Like Lemaître, a cosmologist who was Catholic, said that the Big Bang is basically part of the Bible. When the Bible talks about creation, the Big Bang Theory gives you a physical evidence for the Bible, because, of course, he was part of the Catholic Church, but also a cosmologist. So didn't this have religious and philosophical implications?
Well, Lemaître was actually the one who proposed the original idea based on Einstein's general theory of relativity that the universe expanded from something he called a primeval atom. And to his credit, he was a Catholic priest. To his credit, he did keep the science and the religious idea separate, but then...
Okay, Paul, let's take another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to talk about the philosophy and also the physics. How did we finally resolve the difference between the steady state and the Big Bang theory of the universe? And what lies beyond that? Well, you're listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the base state radio station or the website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on national radio on Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The U.S. Embassy in Kabul is warning not to travel to the airport there. They're saying that more attacks are highly probable and that all Americans should leave the country as soon as possible. On Thursday, there was a suicide bombing at the airport that killed 13 U.S. service members. President Biden said the mission there now is very dangerous.
Come with a significant loss of American personnel. And but it's a worthy mission because they continue to evacuate folks out of that region, out of the airport.
Around 170 people were killed in the attack, and dozens more were hurt. The attack was carried out by an offshoot of the Islamic State called the Islamic State Khorasan Province. They claimed responsibility for the attack. The final troop withdrawal in Afghanistan is set for Tuesday. This is USA Radio News. Hurricane warnings are out for most of the Gulf Coast as Ida, which is now a Category 1 storm, is expected to strengthen. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards said the hurricane is rapidly intensifying and may hit the state as a Category 4 hurricane. Winds when the hurricane hits on Sunday afternoon may be as high as 140 miles per hour. Evacuations were ordered for several southern areas in the state, including those who live in New Orleans, outside the levee system. The governor says by Saturday night at the latest,
You need to be where you intend to ride out the storm, and you need to be postured as you would want to be as that storm approaches you.
He said he spoke to President Biden, who has already approved a pre-landfall emergency declaration. Louisiana state health officials are now urging people to find somewhere to shelter where they can be safe and not to be out on the roads, as hospitals now are overflowing with COVID-19 patients. You're listening to USA Radio News.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about the creation of the universe itself. What does science, specifically physics and astronomy, say about the beginning of everything there is? Well, with us today is physics professor Paul Halpern, professor of physics at the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia, author of Flashes of Creation, George Gamow, Fred Hoyle, and the Great Big Bang Debate. When we last left off, we were talking about the fact that this debate is not just confined to physicists. It also touches on philosophy and religion, where some Catholic theologians, among them Lemaître, a priest who was also a practicing physicist, said that this justifies Genesis. Other people like the steady state theory because it's comfortable. There's no beginning, there's no end, the universe is simply timeless and is. So, Paul, what are your thoughts about the religious and philosophical implications of these theories?
Well, interestingly, both Gamow and Hoyle were not very religious people, but their ideas were interpreted by many people who were religious and you put in the context of biblical Genesis and so forth. And neither of them really liked that. They really wanted to stay out of religion. And interestingly, the Pope at the time in the 1950s was very, very interested in the Big Bang Theory and called some Vatican conferences where he assembled astronomers and he consulted with Lemaître and issued a statement which appeared in the New York Times that the Big Bang Theory was proof of the eminence of God and that it showed how Genesis works. And that was rather startling, but Gamow, even though he wasn't a Catholic and he wasn't religious, was really happy about the Pope's pronouncement and sent him some articles and his copy of his book, Creation of the Universe. And then some years later, there was another conference at the Vatican, and there was a debate on whether or not to invite Hoyle. And I found in my book, through my research, that there were some notes passed between the Pope and the organizer of the conference, and the Pope gave permission for Hoyle to attend the conference, despite the fact that Hoyle had made some anti-religious statements in his public lectures and also was a steady state person, not a Big Bang person. So Hoyle did attend the conference, and amazingly, on the way back from the Vatican, Lemaître asked Hoyle for a ride. He was going to Belgium, his native Belgium, so Hoyle and Lemaître took a ride together in Hoyle's car, and they got to discuss things. And they actually got along very well and had fun driving through Europe. So that was kind of an exciting thing, which I talk about in Flashes of Creation.
Okay, now let's talk about experiment, because that's the bottom line. You can talk all you want about religion and philosophy, but the bottom line is testability and reproducibility. Let's talk about what happened in Homedale, New Jersey, where there was a radio telescope that picked up signals that some people thought came from bird droppings and garbage on the radio telescope. So tell us that story.
Well, so there was a radio telescope in Homedale, New Jersey, that had originally been used to detect satellite transmissions. And Bell Labs adopted it for astronomy, and two astronomers, Arno Penzias and Bob Wilson, started to look for signals from the galactic halo. They wanted to prove that the Milky Way had a halo. And while they were trying to look for these signals, they suddenly started to detect this hiss. And they tried to rule out sources of the hiss.
Okay, Paul, we have to take yet another short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue the discussion of the creation of the universe and your book, Flashes of Creation. So once again, our special guest today is Paul Halpern, and you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Physics Professor Paul Halpern of the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia, author of a new book called Flashes of Creation, George Gamow, Fred Hoyle, and the Great Big Bang Debate. So we have two great theories. The Big Bang Theory, proposed by George Gamow and his students, stating that there was a hot explosion that gave birth. There is. But on the other side, we have Cambridge physicist Fred Hoyle, himself a heavyweight in physics, stating, no, matter is, yes, it's expanding, but matter is continually being spontaneously generated, so the average density of the universe is the same. So the universe today looks very much like the universe that it was yesterday. There is no change. So we have two diametrically points of view that have to be tested. So tell us a little bit about done with the radio telescope in Homedale, New Jersey, that finally settled the question.
So after ruling out other sources of noise, Penzias and Wilson were really perplexed, and they did consider the possibility that it was pigeon droppings, which they called white dielectric noise. So they cleaned up the detector and trapped the pigeons in cages, which one of the cages is now in the Smithsonian as an exhibit. And finally, after doing that, turned out that somebody that Penzias knew happened to know somebody named Bob Dickey, who was a physicist at Princeton, and Bob Dickey was working on his own radio detector to test his own theory, and his theory was that the universe was oscillating and that there was energy left over from a previous era of the universe. So he wanted to build a radio detector to measure the idea of radiation from the previous version of the universe that might still be left. So while he was working on the detector, he got a call from Arno Penzias, and Dickey's students and associates were in the room listening, including someone named Jim Peebles. And when we were listening, all of a sudden they heard Dickey saying, this is interesting. This is like what we've been doing. And then finally when Dickey got off the phone, he said, we've been scooped, boys. Somebody else beat us to the punch. And it turned out that those signals were proof of thermal energy in the early universe, something that cooled down from the early universe. It wasn't a sign of a previous universe, but Peebles calculated that the energy had a temperature of about 3 degrees above absolute zero, which matched models of the Big Bang and matched predictions by Gamow's student Alpha and his associate Bob Herman, who had calculated something like 5 degrees above absolute zero back in 1949. So it was a very, very close prediction. So everybody rejoiced because it seemed like proof positive of the Big Bang.
Well, according to legend, when Penzias and Wilson were giving this talk, someone in the audience interjected that either you have discovered the creation of the universe or bird droppings. Is that story true, or is it simply lore?
Well, they had ruled out bird droppings. I'm not sure if somebody brought that up in a talk, but they had definitely ruled that out. And when after Dickey, Peebles, and others, Wilkinson and Rall, visited the detector, Penzias and Wilson showed them carefully how they had cleaned up everything and had ruled out all the other possibilities. So Dickey was very satisfied that every other possibility was ruled out. So that's when the papers were published on evidence for the origin of the universe.
Now, this radiation they picked up with the radio telescope is an afterglow, an echo of the original shockwave that created the universe. But the question is, some people say that on your radio, if you have a radio and you pick up static between stations, some of that static is actually leftovers from the creation of the universe itself. So is that true that in some sense, you can actually get a piece of Genesis, a piece of the creation of the universe and listen to it in the static in your TV set or radio?
Yeah, that's true that there's an element of that hiss in on radio, on TVs that use, if you have an old-fashioned TV, I don't know if anybody in the audience has.
Okay, Paul, we have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your book, Flashes of Creation. And once again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can share your thoughts on national radio. So give us a call.
To stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes,
Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Professor Paul Halpern, Professor of Physics at the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia, author of a new book, Flashes of Creation, George Gamow, Fred Hoyle, and the Great Big Bang Debate. Where we last left off, we were talking about the fact that the leftover radiation, the embers, the afterglow of the explosion that created the universe is still with us, still reverberating around the universe in the microwave range, and we have pictures of it. You can Google it. Get on your computer and Google the background radiation of the Big Bang, and you can see photographs taken by satellites of the afterglow of the Big Bang. But you don't need a satellite to get evidence of this radiation. You can pick it up on your radio or TV set in the static. So how does that work, being able to, in some sense, eavesdrop on Genesis itself in your living room?
Well, there was an era in the early universe called the era of recombination, and that was actually somewhat after the Big Bang, where atoms first formed, because until the universe cooled down to a sufficient temperature, stable atoms were impossible. But once the universe had dropped so that it was cool enough, stable atoms can form, and that meant that a whole bunch of light was free to move through the universe, and the universe suddenly became transparent to light. Before that, all the light was locked up in these particles bouncing around between one particle and another. So once the atoms formed, all this light was free to move, but the universe was still very hot at that point, and that light gradually cooled down over time as the universe expanded, because whenever something gets bigger, it cools down. So the light cooled down, and now it's roughly 3 degrees, or to be more precise, about 2.73 degrees above absolute zero, and it's not exactly uniform. There are very minute differences from point to point in the sky, because places where matter would eventually form, the seeds of matter, are slightly hotter, and places where no matter would form are slightly cooler. And these are tiny fractions of a degree difference, but these have been mapped out by several different satellites, including the WMAP satellite, the Planck satellite, and that creates what's called the baby picture of the universe that shows the temperature distribution of the universe around the time of this recombination era, billions of years ago.
Now, there's a little bit of controversy now, because even though you can download these photographs right off the web by typing in, let's say, WMAP or the Planck satellite, there are some splotches. We thought it should be pretty uniform, the microwave radiation, but there's some splotches, and some people think that indicates that perhaps the universe was connected to a parallel universe. Now, of course, now we're pushing the very boundary of physics, but what are your thoughts about the fact that there are some blotches in this uniform background microwave radiation that some people think indicates the fact that, well, maybe we were connected to another universe? But what are your thoughts?
Well, there's a theory called eternal inflation that's a little bit different from the Big Bang. So One fact about the Big Bang is that the original Big Bang theory did not predict that the universe is geometrically flat, and it didn't predict that the universe is so smooth. So that's when, in the 1980s, other physicists came up with the idea of inflation, which was a burst of exponential expansion. It's a very tiny fraction of a second after the Big Bang. And as the cosmologist André Linde and others showed, if inflation happens, it could happen not just in our observable universe, but there could be a sea of bubble universes for which there were these bursts in many different universes. So some observational astronomers are looking for signs of a scar that could indicate that there might have been other bubble universes near ours in the distant past. So it's a very interesting open question whether or not our observable universe is unique, or are there other bubble universes out there beyond ours?
Now, we actually had on the radio a guest, Professor Alan Guth, one of the creators of the inflationary universe idea that you mentioned, and he had the outrageous speculation that if you had enough energy, you can cook a baby universe in your living room. That is, become God in some sense, assemble enough energy to cook a piece of distortion of space and time, which would then inflate and give you an inflationary universe. Now, I asked him, isn't that rather dangerous to create a baby universe in your basement or living room? And he said, yes, it would be equivalent of a hydrogen bomb. But in principle, it would be consistent with what we know about the quantum theory and inflation theory. But what are your thoughts, given the fact that we're now pushing the very boundary of what we know about the universe?
I think it would be hypothetically possible to create a universe, but we'd be talking about such extreme conditions. They'd be well beyond the conditions produced in colliders that we have today, for example, the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider. Large Hadron Collider is able to deliver a certain amount of energy to particles, but if you look at how much energy is actually delivered to the particles in total, it's less than the energy of a spoonful of sugar. So if you compare this to energies in the particle world, it's a huge amount of energy for particles, and that creates all sorts of interesting novel particles that we don't normally see in nature. But if you compare it to the mundane world, what's produced in colliders today is not a huge amount of energy in the real world. So
okay,
if you wanted
Paul,
to create...
Unfortunately, we have run out of time, but for those people who are curious about what we know and don't know about the creation of the universe, get a copy of the book, Flashes of Creation, George Gamow, Fred Hoyle, and the Great Big Bang Debate. And once again, our special guest today was Professor Paul Halpern, Professor of Physics at the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia, author of Flashes of Creation. So, Paul, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Okay, and again, you can go to my website, mkaku.org, to find out more about Science Fantastic.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.